Hello, 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 and welcome to the CPG Scoop. We are thrilled to be here for a caffeinated edition of the CPG Scoop. I am caffeinated Lisa.
And I am caffeinated Jennifer.
And I am absolutely caffeinated and ready to jump in as well. I'm Michelle Sweezy with Mosmos and Eddie Beverage.
We're thrilled to have you here. You're just always a pleasure. I have so much energy. I think you're naturally caffeinated as Jennifer and I are, which is a good thing because then you could drink coffee and get a little extra razzmatazz. But we're thrilled to have you. I'm so happy that I've gotten to know you over the past year or so, and you're really just a wealth of information. So we're going to just jump right in and have folks who are on the podcast to really learn about you and understand. So we'd love you to introduce yourself to the audience, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got to Mosmo, and get us kicked off.
So once again, I am Michelle Sweezy. I serve as a digital marketing manager for Mosmos and Eddie Beverage. So we put about 50 million cups of coffee through our roaster every single day. So you've probably had our cups without even knowing it. But I spent about 10 years in the nonprofit sector. So I'm a weirdo in the sense of joining the CPG space. It came into COVID, which had me lean in a little bit into marketing. So that's how I fell into the opportunity to be a part of an international coffee company and be the voice and the presence online for several of our brands like Kauai Coffee, Chock Full of Nuts, and Segafredo Zanetti.
That's great. I love the different backgrounds. I mean, we have met some really fantastic people that have come from different backgrounds, and I just think that's what makes us all stronger.
It is. It makes
stronger or a little crazy. Yeah.
Oh, both. For sure, both. Can you be strong without being a little bit crazy? I don't think so.
It's just you have a spunky personality, and we love it.
We do. So, spunky personality. We always ask the same question. If you were going to take one, in one word, describe the CPG marketing space right now, what one word would you use?
Flux.
You can use two words if you have to, but
I'm gonna pick flux. So flux, FLUX, because we are in a space that means we have to adjust accordingly. We have retail media networks that are popping up every 2 seconds. We have consumers that have changed their customer shopping habits over the last 3 years and continue to adapt as they have found new trends and ways to pick up their normal everyday things. And we've all realized how much as a consumer, our minutes are valuable. Every single one of us probably schedules ourselves to the minute. So if you can save a minute here and there in one little tip or trick, then yeah, CPG is in flux because we have to figure out how to catch people quicker.
For sure. So what are some of the ways that we're in flux? I mean, certainly that you said, you know, consumer behavior, they're changing their habits, but specifically, any specifics on the nature of the flux?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think of myself in the sense that the way I shopped 3 years ago is fully different than the way I shop today. And heck, the way that I shop on a Monday is different than the way I shop on a Friday. So the way that I am finding products and discovering new things is constantly changing. I find myself suckered in. As a marketer, it hurts my soul a little bit, but I find myself suckered into the random influencer that gives me a really good idea, and I totally buy that product in 3 seconds, where that would not have happened in 2019. So I think that as marketers and as salespeople, we have to constantly look at the space with our eyes open and trying to be almost consumer obsessed to figure out how you're going to find out what Risa is buying and what she is drinking in her coffee cup to make it so that Kauai Coffee is her next pick. And I'm totally going to pull you off. I don't know if you have Kauai in your cup, but I'll make it the next time.
I certainly do.
Good.
And you kind of even started to get into the next question, Michelle, is, you know, with Flux, and being consumer obsessed. Boy, I love that, because we always talk about, you know, we could talk in all these marketing circles all we want, marketing language and marketing speak, and we could talk funnels, and I don't believe in funnels and there are no funnels, but the consumer and being consumer obsessed gives you an advantage because you're thinking that way. And so where we take this as far as with Flux, tell us a little bit about those opportunities that that creates for you at Massimo, given the fact that you have different interception points to be able to connect with that consumer.
Well, I think I'm in kind of a little bit of a unique space. Our brands are sold not only in brick and mortar, but also in .com. Plus, we have an away from home, a cafe presence as well. So I have so many different multiple touch points that I could potentially get you guys to taste my coffee. And in the coffee world, anyone in most CPG, everyone is after the last best cup of coffee. So I have to make the best impression every single time. So in that sense, I'm always competing with myself against my various marketing campaigns that I've got going on. So I've got to sit there and kind of test and learn and do some kind of quick thanks. Thanks, Jennifer, for letting me click to cart occasionally too.
No, thank you. You guys have had some real success in that space. So, and what exactly, can you give us any examples beyond that of what you're doing to meet that challenge? Because I think what's interesting about your brand is that multi-channel marketing, you know, in they may have this in a restaurant. They may find out about this through an ad. They may find out about this in the store. You really have a breadth that most brands don't have to address, right?
Sure. And they, for the sake of Kauai Coffee, they might have physically visited the farm where we harvest the beans. So it is to your point, how have we adjusted our tactics accordingly? Being consumer obsessed, like I have to talk to Jennifer a little bit differently than Risa. So I've used some of the cool technology in the space to adjust how I'm going to talk to you at 9 o'clock in the morning versus how I'm going to talk to you in the afternoon. I've gotten the opportunity to test within our search marketing campaigns and say, hey, look, are you more likely to fill up your shopping basket at one of those big stores that have a little yellow star on them in the morning or in the afternoon? And those simple things might make it easier for Michelle, who is a working mom with two tiny children, to get all of the things that she needs to do done throughout the day. And that's kind of why we're all here, is to make sure that we not only move our businesses forward, but we make it so that our consumer obsession becomes them obsessed with our products.
That's right. Like a full circle. Right.
But not any funnels. We're not talking funnels.
No, there are no funnels. I don't even know what that is. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know anything about that. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Jennifer and I agree. And we know you do too. When you look out there in this space too, Michelle, and you know, we've gotten a chance to connect at different events where we get to hear different brands speak. And I'm sure you're always connecting with what other brands are doing. Do you see other marketers out there that are doing it right, that are really embracing the consumer, that are really thinking about different ways to engage the consumer, to have them be that from that last cup of coffee forward or that last brand forward? Who's doing it right as well as MZB?
Who's doing it right? So I can at least lean into another beverage company. I am a total Spindrift person, so I guess they call themselves Spindrifters. That means it's a sparkling water with a little bit of good stuff in it. But for me, I got pinged because somehow I guess I bought enough of their products, and so they sent me a random thing of, hey, look, try this new flavor. And of course, I sat there and had an entire case of this new flavor in my fridge, and I shared it with my friends, and I've converted too many people. But I think in the sense, and of course, they're really good at targeting me with some ads when I happen to be running low on sparkling water. I think to me, the ones that are doing the best are really trying to find ways to make it more personal. So I felt like I was the biggest winner because somehow, some way, Spindrift knew that I bought a lot of Spindrift at Target. I think all of us truly know how that they found out that that entrance. But to me, it's they had to target the people who were their heavy drinkers, and they got to sit there and get some consumer data direct from the source. And we all know how valuable that is. They probably got to sit there and see Michelle's radical candor of going, yes, mojito is the perfect flavor for sparkling water. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree with you that, that's a really key opportunity is to unlock flavors.
Mm-hmm. Well, to engage, I love how they engage their passionate audience to help spread the story about the new flavor as well. I mean, that's super smart right there, that level of personalization.
Right.
So given all this flux and given cool ideas like what MZB is doing and what you just talked about with Spindrift, what do you think is going to happen next year? You know, we always ask people about the balance of the year. I'm going to quit asking people about the balance of the year. There's not enough of it left. But what are we going to be talking about in 2024? What consumer behavior might change? What marketing behavior might change? What are we going to need to react to then? Sorry.
So Jennifer, that's a good question. I think one thing that probably is on the back of everyone's minds is kind of inflation and how much of the economy has changed over the past couple of years. I know I have the pleasure of sitting on the insights team with MCB. So of course I get to nerd out on numbers all the time. Mm-hmm. And from a numbers perspective, total food and beverage has gone up about 26 to 28%, depending on the way you look at it, from September of 2020 to September of 2023. So the price of everything is changing. So that's forcing consumers to make big changes on themselves too. So what is 2024 going to look like in the sense of the stratification of the things that we enjoy and what is going to change in the sense of priority stakes, and how do you as a luxury stay on the top of that need and make it so that, yes, I am a luxury, but you deserve it because Jennifer, Risa, you work hard and you need to have a little bit of something for you to take care of yourself.
Exactly.
And so in 2024, you think there'll be, I'm kind of encapsulating, there'll be increasing economic challenges potentially. And so brands are going to have to respond by ensuring that they stay in the mix. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think, of course, I'm not an economist by any stretch of the imagination, nor will I ever claim to be. But I think that every brand knows that their space in the system is at risk in some means. So they're going to continue to find the ways to interrupt the consumer decision process and stay at the top of the mind, not that we're talking about funnels, and really be the best thing for the customer. So in doing so, it's the next year will be a little bit of flux because it's going to be trial and error to figure out what is the best thing for not only the customer, but for the brand and profits across the board.
Right. It's important to think all of those details through, right?
It is. And where is the consumer going to be? Where are we going to be meeting them? It seems like it's more and more of a fractured answer. Although you had an interesting thing you said early on. You said, when an influencer tells me to do something, I bought it in less than 3 seconds.
Dude, they're good.
Exactly. I mean, when you find something that's really great and connects with you in that moment, and like you said, in a personalized way, and lets you just shop it right away, it's a triple win.
It is. It is. And I think that's part of kind of the knowing your consumer set, right? You've got, in that instance, I happened to be in a space where I was enough of in the consideration spot to make that decision. And dang, Apple Pay is really evil. Let's be honest with you guys. So those Shopify integrated stores that have that Apple Pay, you know, double click and it's already on its way to my house is going to be the next spot. If you don't have that, you might fall behind. And truly that's knowing your consumer, to your point, Jennifer. It's knowing who you're going to target and the social commerce behind it is kind of exciting.
It's going to be an exciting 2024, I think.
For sure.
And, yeah. I mean, all from what we're hearing from all of the guests, it's all around flux, consumer centricity. Nobody's put it as well as consumer obsession. So I love that, Michelle.
Borrow it. It's TM'd, you know.
There you go. You get a royalty for every time it's used.
Sold.
There we go.
It's great. And I know, you know, we started our CPG Scoop podcast, Jennifer and I, and we had this wonderful opportunity to kind of extend from the CPG guys, which we're so appreciative of. And really our POV on doing this is we used to have more cups of coffee with people in person. And, you know, we would, you know, just see people more often for a salad. And those, a lot of that has changed to the back-to-back Zooms and, you know, our world has come that way. And so we set up the CPG Scoop to be that cup of coffee with someone in the industry, someone who's a friend. And we always like to end with asking our guests, while the last few years, people have picked up either new hobbies or new ways to live or new ways to balance or new friendships. And we always like to ask, what have you picked up during the pandemic that you're keeping in your life that is meaningful for you?
So twofold. I told you at the start of our show today that I transitioned out of the nonprofit sector. So to me, I kind of left a little bit of mission delivery and selling the idea of intangible hope into selling coffee. So I'm totally in big business now. Yeah. But one thing that I picked back up is I'm super involved in my community and some different things that go along in my hometown. So if you follow me on all of the socials, I'm obnoxious about it probably. So to me, it's ensuring that I can still get that mission and filling my cup by helping others in some means. Plus, my husband picked up a woodworking hobby. So we have 15 saws and a lot of random sawdust in my garage now. So I let him pick up the hobby and I just got more busier.
So yep, I'm curious about this one. And I know we're a little tight on time, but wanted to ask, how are you bringing or what is it that you brought from the time that you were in nonprofit to the for-profit world that you think helps in the for-profit space?
So in the sense of nonprofit, you know the value of how hard it is to work for a dollar, right? In the sense that I earned every single penny that was brought to the mission and I knew exactly where all of it went. So I am probably best friends with my finance team in the sense that we've built some kind of cool pivot tables to determine the profitability on any given program that is running and all of the fun stuff. But I think the biggest thing that I brought from it is just the multiple hats and wanting to constantly learn. I came from a large research-driven organization where that half of my job was talking about research. So I am always one to nerd out on articles and podcasts and the good stuff that the other thought leaders in my business are determining and finding out. And to me, it's just always trying to make it a little bit better.
I love that.
It sounds like you brought a passion as well. The passion.
Oh, I mean, who couldn't be passionate about coffee, Jennifer? Come on.
I hate to play favorites, but wow, you make some great coffee. So
you do. I mean, our go-to is Chock-Full of Nuts every day, every way. So keep bringing it on. And we're so happy to be able to share your wisdom. You have just such a great attitude, Michelle, too, and just a great outlook on things. And you bring together just the learning. You're hungry to learn. You're curious. And that's why you are consumers, you know, obsessed, which is what sets you apart in the industry. And so we're so thrilled that you joined us today and shared this, and others will be able to be motivated.
Awesome. Thanks, Risa. Thanks, Jennifer. Seriously, no. This has been phenomenal.
Thank you. This has been a lot of fun. So thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us. And goodbye, everybody. Thanks for coming on today.
Have a caffeinated day.